What's up, baseball fans? Welcome to the On the Bump podcast, where two current major league pitchers take a deep dive into an all-time great pitcher of the past. We got a fun one for you guys today. We got current San Francisco Giants starting pitcher Alex Wood and myself are going to be throwing it way back to the 40s, 50s, and 60s, talking about Hall of Famer, arguably the greatest lefty that's ever done it, Warren Spahn. So Woody, as we all call Alex, was my teammate with the Dodgers for a handful of seasons. He's one of my favorite teammates I've ever had. He's actually a guy that really showed me how to be a pro, despite being younger than me, which is always a crazy thing to think about. I'm really excited to have him on the podcast today. We'll bring him in here in a minute. We usually try to find pitchers that compare to each other on this podcast, but Warren Spahn pitched so long ago, and the game has changed so much, it's kind of hard to point to someone today and be like, yeah, that guy pitches like Warren Spahn. But Alex is left-handed, just like Warren Spahn, and they both pitch for the Braves. So I think that's enough in common that we can say they compare. So let's run with that. You guys know I got to lay down a little background, throw out the stats before we get this conversation really going. We've covered some amazing pitchers on this podcast. Every single one of them always has some mind-boggling stats, whether it's innings pitched, strikeouts, complete games, something that made them Hall of Famers, right? They were elite for a reason. Well, wait until you guys hear these bulk stats and the longevity that this man put out over his two-decade career. So let's dive in. And we'll get Alex Wood in the conversation here in a few minutes. So Warren Spahn signed with the Braves in 1942 at the age of 20 years old for a whopping $150 signing bonus. That same year, he gets called up to the big leagues, and early in his career, he's described as, quote, an unfinished product with a hard fastball and sporadic control, which I think just about all of us were at 20 years old. This is the early 40s. I think we know what was going on at that time. This is World War II. So Warren Spahn, after his rookie year in Major League Baseball, goes and enlists in the U.S. Army, as many ballplayers did during that era, and he gets shipped out to fight in the war. He fought in a bunch of pivotal battles, including the Battle of the Bulge. He was nicked by bullets in both his abdomen and his head. He was also hit by shrapnel in his left foot, which eventually required surgery to be removed. He was awarded the Bronze Star, the Purple Star, a Presidential Citation, and is widely considered the most decorated ballplayer in World War II, making it all the way to the second lieutenant rank. So not only is Warren Spahn a Hall of Fame pitcher, greatest lefty that's ever done it, he's also a war hero, which makes him maybe the most impressive man that's ever graced the Major League Baseball field. The war ends, and Warren heads back to the Boston Braves only at the age of 25. Think about what he's been through in 25 years, and now he gets to go start his baseball career at 25 years old. I didn't even break into the league until I was 26, so he's got his whole career in front of him, and he takes advantage of it. I really want to dive in on these bulk stats, and we're going to get into it with Alex big time, but because I know they're going to absolutely blow his mind, but I need to share a little bit with you guys to set the stage. So in 17 seasons from 1947 to 1963, Warren Spahn threw at least 245 innings every year. I don't know if, we don't have a single guy in today's game that gets 245 innings. And he did it for 17 straight years or more. He threw at least 16 complete games every year, only twice had an ERA above a 3.3. He won 20 games 13 times and won the Cy Young in 1957. Didn't even start naming a Cy Young until 1956, so who knows how many he would have won up till then. His average yearly stat line across those 17 seasons was 20 wins, a 2.96 ERA, 278 innings pitched, and 21 complete games. He averaged those numbers for 17 straight years, almost two decades. And then just the longevity, the ability to pitch into his mid-40s. He pitched a no-hitter at age 39. Another at the age of 40. He was also famously a good hitter, really good in the box, finished with 35 home runs, exactly as many hits as wins in his career, 363. Those are both gigantic numbers for a pitcher. Overall stats in his career, 363 wins, 309 ERA, 382 complete games, 63 shutouts, 5,243 innings pitched. In the live ball era, there isn't a single pitcher who has more career wins than Warren Spahn. The only guy that even got close was Greg Maddux with 355. Made a good run at it, but couldn't get to Warren Spahn's 363. He has the most wins ever by a left-hander, whether that's the live ball era or not, most wins ever by a lefty. Only four pitchers in the history of our game have ever thrown more than his 5,243 innings. No one has more complete games than his 362. The bulk stats and the ability to be really good for two decades, the longevity, are astonishing. It's just not something you see in today's game. So when someone like me who pitches in the modern game of baseball goes and looks at this era and the stats that they put out, I like can't even fathom it. We're going to talk about Clayton Kershaw a lot with Alex today, and we have talked about Clayton plenty on this podcast. He only has 175 wins, just over 2,000 innings. He has to repeat his career thus far, which is 13 unbelievable seasons, multiple Cy Youngs and MVP, to get even close to the bulk stats that Warren Spahn put up. I mean, they're absolutely unbelievable. Can't imagine putting up numbers like that for two straight decades. Warren Spahn started a lot of games, he finished a lot of games, and he won a lot of games. Just something that you don't see from starting pitchers in today's game. So now that we've covered this impressive career of Warren Spahn, let's bring in Alex Wood. All right, guys, welcome back. We are joined by Alex Wood. Woody, man, one of my favorite teammates of all time. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to chatting about Mr. Warren Spahn a little bit today.
I love these podcasts that we've been doing because I learned so much about guys that I didn't know anything about, man. Like, you hear the name Warren Spahn, you know the era he pitched in and all that stuff, but then you see the stats that I just rattled off in the intro before you came on, and it's just like, I mean, why is this guy not a household name? 5,000 innings, man. What's the first thing you think of when you see something like that?
Death. Just pure death. 5,000 innings, man. Like, I don't know what the exact math on per year for however many years, but that's just an astounding number. You know, I feel like I've thrown a lot of innings, but I've thrown about a little less than a fifth of that career total. So just unbelievable, man, to hold up for that long and perform at the level he did. Just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I touched on it in the intro. He averaged 278 innings for 17 straight years.
That is absolutely remarkable. Just to think about that sheer workload. I mean, nowadays, guys don't even get to 200 innings, pretty much. There's maybe a handful, four or five, maybe tops a year that get to 200 plus, maybe one or two more if you include the postseason. But I mean, that's just so many innings, man. And to be able to perform at that level, just amazing.
Yeah, you're at 850. Kershaw, our teammate for a long time in LA, 2,300. Kershaw has to more than double his career thus far. Think about how unbelievable and how many accolades he has. He has to double it and more to get to Warren Spahn.
Yeah, I think if you probably presented that number to him as far as innings, it would blow his mind because, I mean, that guy's a workhorse, dude. You know, here's the ball every fifth day. Go get him. Ride him till you can't ride him anymore. And then to think about the fact that he's not even halfway to the amount of innings that Warren Spahn threw in his career is just unbelievable.
Wild. So what I thought was crazy is you look up guy like we did Bob Feller with Jeff Passan on this podcast, and you look at Feller, he was throwing like 40-something starts a year. Warren Spahn only averaged 32 starts a year. So that's on par with what we do in today's game, but he was allowed to obviously finish games, right? Like, he was going nine, whether it went well or bad. Obviously, it went well much more for him than it did bad. So in today's game, you just talked about it, the workhorses, guys like Clayton, Scherzer, DeGrom, Gerrit Cole. What if we let them finish games? Do you think that they would have that kind of, because we know how nasty their stuff is, would they have the success that we saw from these past eras? Or do you think that the game is the way it is because bullpen arms are so nasty and that's the way it should be? You get those starters through two, maybe three times through the lineup, and you bring in the nasty back end.
Yeah, I think back then the gap between like the top guys and the rest of the league, at least in my eyes, was probably a lot more significant than it is now. Talk about a little bit later, you know, how Warren Spahn moved mechanically and stuff. And he looked like he moved really well. You know, I don't know how hard he threw exactly in his career, but, you know, guys like that, you know, they were the ninth inning, 150 pitches in, their best stuff was probably still significantly better than, you know, the next guy they'd bring out of the bullpen. It was kind of the high school mentality to where, you know, here's the ball, go throw the whole game, win us the game. And that's what the plan was every time out. There was no seventh, eighth inning, ninth inning guy, really. Maybe some teams, you know, as time moved on, started to have a little bit more of a high octane back of the bullpen guy. But, you know, when he was throwing, it was go get him, Tiger. You know, we ride or die with you. You know, if you go out and throw the whole game, we win. If you come up a little bit short, we probably lose.
Which era do you think you'd rather play in? Would you rather have played back then, or do you like being in the one we're in right now? Like, you'd have been a Hall of Famer if you pitched then, right? Like, I think so.
Yeah. I think being in the era we are now, just progress is fun, you know, like even from the start of you and I's careers, just seeing how much the game has kind of moved forward, the elite talent top to bottom from rookie ball all the way to the big leagues, you know, just the arms, you know, and how many of them there are is just remarkable. And so I like to see things that have never been done before, you know, so seeing guys push the limits. I saw Hunter Green throw 103 miles an hour in his debut yesterday in spring training for the Reds. It's just absolutely incredible what guys are doing now. And so that to me is fun to watch, but you know, it would have been cool to pitch in that era too. Cause you know, to be that dude, say, hey, here's the ball, go get him, you're our champion. You know, would have been really fun too as well.
So the longevity, we've touched on it at length. He threw 200 innings in his last year in the big leagues at 44 years old. You know, can you imagine doing that? I know you and me, we played together 5 years. We obviously will start our warm at the same time. It takes you like 45 minutes, me probably 50 minutes to get to where we can even go outside to play catch, dude. Like, what are we going to look like at 44 years old?
My ass will be at home. Yeah. For sure. What the game takes from you physically these days and the limits that people are pushing physically, I think in comparison to back then, you know, you have to be at your tip top to be able to perform at this level. And I'm sure he had days throughout those 5,000 innings where, you know, he probably wasn't throwing too great, but, you know, it was still good enough against kind of the competition they were facing to kind of make his way through and throw really well. And now there is just, you either feel good, you throw well, your stuff's sharp, you throw hard, or you're probably in pretty big trouble, you know? So
yep.
44 years old, you know, I got no desire. Mookie might still be playing then. Yeah. We can ask him how it is playing at 40 plus, and we can even ask Rich Hill, you know, what he's done is amazing too as well. But I just can't imagine, man. Especially that amount of a workload, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Old teammate Rich Hill, for example, pitching into his early 40s, but he doesn't have 5,000 innings under his belt. You know, we have guys like Felix Hernandez just turned 35. Like, I would have thought he would be almost 40, you know, when you think of how he's battled the last few years in his workload to start diminishing in his mid-30s. You think of like John Lester, Cole Hamels, Adam Wainwright, like all guys that are pitching well into their late 30s and have had great careers, but I can't imagine them into their 40s. You know, it just, and you just kind of touched on it, but it's just, will we ever see that kind of longevity that we got from Warren Spahn ever? Like, will that brand of baseball ever be back?
No chance. There's no chance. The game's just too hard. The talent's too much. You have to be at your tip top every fifth day, you know, to be able to last and last that long. I mean, I'd be curious, how many innings has Verlander thrown at this point in his career? I mean, it's gotta be at least 23, 24, 25, 2600, I would guess. And to see the way he's still performing is pretty amazing. So I think he's probably the closest case. I mean, it sounds like he's going to try and pitch for until he's 40 at least. So to see what he does over the last couple of years of his career and to see where he is now is pretty amazing.
Verlander almost at 3,000, 2988 innings. So he's got another 2,000 to go.
Just absolutely amazing what he's still doing after all those innings, man. It really is. And I know you hit on Felix. I mean, Felix debuted, I think, at 20 years old. That's why everybody thinks he's older than he is. But, I mean, Felix, for a 10-year span, I mean, I don't know, as far as workload, I don't know if anybody topped him in workload over his, like, 10-year really incredible run he had as far as, you know, the dominant numbers, the innings, the all-star appearances. To throw that much nowadays, it's a lot for sure.
I remember talking with you. It's just like normal locker room conversation or even bullpen conversation where, you know, will there ever be a 300-game winner ever again? I feel like I've heard you say multiple times, there's just no way.
No way. There'll never be another 300-game winner in the history of baseball. It's just, I mean, I think it's, if you set it to a current starting pitcher right now, it's like 20 years of 15 wins or 15 years of 20 straight wins. That's just, that doesn't happen. I mean, you barely see guys get to 15 wins in a season these days. I mean, I want to say maybe two or three guys get 15-plus wins a year, and that's like guys that are having career all-star Cy Young, top 10 Cy Young level, you know, years. And then you have to put that on a team that is really good to be able to win that amount of games. You couldn't put Clayton Kershaw or Justin Verlander, those guys, on a bad team and expect them to win 20 games a year, even in their peaks. You know what I mean? It's just crazy to think about to me. And so, no, I don't think there'll ever be another 300 game winner. It's going to be interesting with the Hall of Fame voting, because the standards for starting pitchers will have to shift just off of, you know, that statistic alone. You know, the stats were 280, 300 plus, that gets you in the Hall of Fame as a starting pitcher. There's nobody that's gonna get really close to 300 wins, I don't think. I mean, how many does Clayton have? Clayton's been the best, one of the best left-hander of our generation, maybe ever.
175,
yeah. So he basically has to double his win total, you know, in his 30s. I mean, it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, think about how dominant he's been for 13 years, and he's got to go do it for another 10 just to get to 300 wins is astonishing. So let's get into some more specific stuff about Warren Spahn. On this podcast, we usually like to cover the arsenal, the pitch mix, you know, but Warren pitched so long ago, we can't really like dive into what he was throwing and how much of each pitch. But what we can do is get in on these mechanics a little bit. You know, Warren Spahn pitched in the era with the big windups, the big leg kicks, the leaning way back like they're almost going to fall over and then coming up over the top. Just kind of brings nostalgia back to baseball, like when you get on YouTube and watch those videos of those guys pitching in the 40s and 50s. And I know I sent you the video before so you could watch it a little bit. Like, what, if anything, that Warren Spahn did 70 years ago translates to what we're doing now?
You know, it's funny. I was watching a little bit of video before we got on the Zoom. And, you know, it's funny because when he goes from the windup, you know, it's a lot going on. You know, the hands over the head, the lean back like you talked about, the big leg swing straight over the top. It throws you off a bit. And then you watch a little bit more into the video when he gets guys on and he starts to slide step and shorten things up a little bit. And it's really clean. You know, that was what was crazy to me is, you know, you see all these old guys and all the video you see is nobody's on. It's their full wind up and all the crazy stuff that they used to do back then. But really, I mean, if you go watch Warren Spahn on film and see him go into some slide steps, I mean, he does a lot of things really well. You know, his front side block at front foot contact is really good. His arm path is super clean. You know, he's repeatable. And so it's not surprising when you look at it in that aspect that he had the success he had, because I'm sure there was plenty of guys back then that weren't near as clean as he was mechanically over the course of their careers.
Yeah, you don't stay healthy for 2 decades and 5,000 innings unless you're moving pretty efficient. So we did Spahn and Feller, two of the, you know, old timers. And I feel like those guys kind of get the MO of like not having to try very hard or not working very hard, throwing at 80% effort because they would sometimes pitch on a day's rest, right? So it looks to me like they're trying hard. Like, is that when you watched it, did you think that? Because I've always thought that too. Like, there's no way to get through 300 innings in a year that he's going out and blowing it out every third day. I mean, there's just no way.
No, for sure. I mean, it definitely looks like there's some legitimate effort, you know, on all the video that I've watched on him, you know. What that looks like in person at that time throughout the course of 242 innings on average over 22 or whatever, however long his career was, you know, what that looks like throughout the course of a year. And as the years go on, like what it turns into velo and stuff wise, hard to really say without like ever seeing it in person or having any type of analytical numbers, you know, to show what he was about. But yeah, just incredible, man. You know, it really is hard to believe that those guys, every fourth or fifth day, just locked in, doing it for that long at that level. Man, it's crazy.
So a really big topic in today's game of baseball is the universal DH. We've heard it in collective bargaining talk in the 2020 season. We did have it in both leagues. And it looks like in this 21 season, we're not going to have it. And it's, you know, obviously a hot topic right now. We can't really talk about Warren Spahn without getting into his hitting a little bit. He's kind of like maybe one of the best pitcher hitters that's ever done it. He hit 35 homers, including 9 after the age of 40. You have 0 homers. I have 0 homers. He also had 363 career hits. You have 23. I have like 7. In a 1999 interview, he said, quote, "One of the things I dislike about baseball today is we've made non-athletes out of pitchers. They pitch once a week. They count the pitches. They don't hit. They don't run the bases. That's not my kind of baseball," end quote. Initial reaction to that?
I mean, he's not wrong to an extent. Things have gotten so specific as far as what your role and job is, and teams are more concerned about reaching your ceiling on the mound than they are whether you can hit or not. I'm saying that I think I have maybe 30 career hits or something like that.
23.
I think 23. There you go. I think Michael Jordan. That if you teleported me back to when he was throwing, I'm going to say that I probably would have more than 23 hits. I don't know about the amount of homers I would hit, but I think it would probably be safe to say that I would definitely have more than 23 hits. It's tough, dude, because every guy you face throws 95 or harder. Now, back then, the average velocity when he played, I mean, it had to be low to mid 80s probably. So like you could compare it like to when you and I were probably in high school, you know, the average pitch was, you're saying, I hit 410 in high school. Did. And was all state DH, baby. And so I'm not saying I would hit to the level of Warren Spahn, but I think a lot of us probably would have hit pretty good back in the day.
I think it just further shows how much the game has changed from his era. You know, pitchers are not necessarily amazing athletes. You know, he in that quote called us non-athletes. But I think we're as specialized as anyone in the world at what we do. You touched on it, man. You can't roll out of bed and hit a modern pitcher. Even if you hit in high school, maybe even hit a little bit in college. Like, we're just too specialized. We're too good. We throw too hard. We throw the ball where we want. We change speeds. and it's just a different game. You know, I can hardly make contact in the box when I'm with you. You throw me back in the 40s. My guess is I'm putting the ball in play quite a bit. You know, I think it's just a testament to how much the game has changed. So do you think moving forward that the designated hitter should be universal? I mean, I remember you got hurt in 2016 hitting, you know, that took innings from under your belt that affect you in arbitration and all that stuff moving forward. That's a conversation for another day. But, you know, we've seen Jimmy Nelson get hurt. Adam Wainwright missed a season getting hurt, doing stuff hitting. I'm for the universal DH.
Yeah, it's such a tough question for me because, like, I really am. I feel like I'm a baseball purist at heart. Like, I love, you know, there's so much more strategy to me in the National League as far as, like, pitcher matchups, pinch hitting, like, all the double switches and trying to gain an edge, pitcher hitting, and have DH in both leagues. You know, it makes it a lot simpler to me. There's not a ton of strategy. You're pretty much whatever the lineup is to start the game, that's pretty much for the most part what you're running out there, start to finish. Maybe if you got a big bopper on the bench that a left-handed hitter that's batting against lefties and a lefty started, you know, he gets plugged in maybe later in the game in a big situation. But so from that standpoint, you know, I don't love it because I love the strategy part. I think that the mental side of the game is so fun to me. But also I'm past hitting. Yeah. I'd rather see, you know, I'd rather see Jock Peterson DH for me than watch me go take three at bats in a game. So for the excitement factor, you know, I'd rather definitely have a real big league hitter, you know, in that DH spot. But, you know, I'm torn. So I'm in the middle still, but, you know, I won't be mad if there's a DH next year.
So you don't throw for two decades, 5,000 innings and be the winningest pitcher in the history of our sport without learning some stuff on the way. And one thing that's cool about studying Warren Spahn is he was a wealth of knowledge and he would spit out these quotes all the time. You know, like Yogi Berra had funny quotes, you know, that were kind of outlandish. Warren Spahn is like a Greg Maddux. He was throwing out stuff that was a little bit before his time and trying to teach the guys that came after him about pitching. So I wanted to do a little segment called Favorite Quote with you. So first one, hitting is timing and pitching is upsetting timing. I feel like I've heard that one from every coach I've ever had. A pitcher needs two pitches, one they're looking for and one to cross them up. So I would give them the whole middle part of the plate. I didn't deal with that. The plate is 17 inches wide. I let them have the 10 inches in the middle. I wanted the black part of the plate. The hitter could have the white. The best pitch in baseball is the one that looks like a strike but isn't. I've also heard that one a million times, going from strike to ball. And then you want to feel as if your catcher is stopping the ball just as it's beginning to do its trick, not after it's through, which is like kind of tunneling a little bit, you know? So like kind of these are quotes from the 40s and 50s, which still apply 70 years later in 2020 baseball. Obviously, it's probably hard to remember the ones I just went through, but does any of those stick out to you as like, yeah, that's as relevant now as it's ever been?
The first quote you talked about, the disrupting the timings, the hitter's timing, you know, that still applies now. You know, you see all these guys have taken it to another level. Marcus Stroman, Johnny Cueto, some of these guys, a lot of relievers now will, you know, Hansel Robles with the paws at the top or like the fake leg kick down, back up, then throw. I mean, that still applies, man. A hitter, especially nowadays with all the velocity, all the big time high octane stuff from all these guys, you know, that's all they're trying to do is just mess the hitter's timing up just enough to be able to make an out or get a swing and miss, whatever it may be. So, I mean, that to me applies as much as anything he said, but to think about him saying all those quotes back in the 40s and 50s, you know, and how they still really, really apply today is awesome. And it's so cool to hear things like that. That are timeless, essentially, as far as concepts and how you want to go about getting guys out.
So we finish every podcast with the same question. How would he be in today's game of baseball, in today's product that's on the field? You know, with Pedro Martinez, Tim Lincecum, Greg Maddux, like, they've played so recently, you got a pretty good idea. But these guys from the 40s and 50s, it's a much bigger question, right? We have this conversation all the time in the locker room, like, would Ted Williams be good today? Would Babe Ruth be good today? Well, would Warren Spahn be good in today's baseball? I mean, he threw 5,200 innings and only had 2,500 strikeouts. That's not a lot. And we know how valued the strikeout is in today's game. His strengths were obviously wearing you down over time, pitching to contact, grinding you out for 9 innings. And that doesn't exist in today's game. So personally, I think he pitched in the right era. Now, I'm sure that he was a pitcher and he could get guys out and he knew how to command the zone and make the ball move and all that stuff that still applies today. But, you know, personally, I think he pitched at the right time. What do you think?
It's just so, oh man, it's so tough, you know, to answer that question. But yeah, he would have been a big leaguer. I mean, I guess it's the best way I would have described it. Would he have been a starting pitcher? Would he have been a a left-handed reliever, a specialist, without seeing him in person. But just so many things are so different now. Like the strike zone that he probably threw to back then. You brought that quote about the pitcher going to have the 10 inches in the middle. He's got the black. Well, what does the black look like back then? You know, is it another 10 inches on both sides, you know, or is it 3.5 inches? It's hard to say that he would have done the same thing now as he did back then. But obviously the evolution of humans and of the game over time, you know, when we could have this conversation 30 years from now, 40 years from now, and the guys that are currently playing are going to be probably worlds better than you and I ever were in our career. So I think that's part of it. I think you just have to appreciate what he did at that time, and just super hard to compare it to now without physically teleporting him into the game.
Yeah, I like the way you put it. You know, he would definitely be a big leaguer in today's game, but could he get through 5,000 innings and be the winningest starting pitcher of all time? Probably unlikely, but who knows? And it's a shame that we can't figure. You can plug him into a video game and maybe see what MLB The Show says. But that's all I got for you, Alex. Man, covering the greatest left-handed pitcher that's ever pitched. You're a lefty, someone to look up to, someone to look at, and say, "Wow, I can't believe that he threw 5,000 innings and had 363 wins. That's absolutely incredible, and will always be amazing because the game will never look like that ever again." That's Warren Spahn. This has been Alex Wood, pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. Alex, thank you so much, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.